Okay. Good morning. Welcome. We'll call this meeting of the Permanent Community Impact Fund Board to order at 9:12 a.m. January 4th, 2024. Happy New Year, everyone. Hope the holidays went well. Up first, well, we do want to recognize our board members that are joining us via Zoom. First, we'll have Mayor Baker is joining us. Why don't we just get into just general introductions first. We'll start with Commissioner Adams.
Good morning. My name is Bruce Adams. I'm a San Juan County Commissioner. I represent the Southeastern Utah AOG.
Ralph Brown, Sevier County Commissioner representing Sevier County.
Kurt Slaw, Deputy State Treasurer representing the State Treasurer.
Chris Piper with the Utah Attorney General's Office.
Curtis Wells representing rural Utah.
Good morning and Happy New Year. I'm representing UDOT Commission, and I know that the year 2024 is going to be, in fact, a good year. I know for sure because some of you is going to be an instant millionaire by February 5th.
Commissioner Scott Bartholomew from San Pete representing the 6th County AOG, and thanks for waiting for me.
You bet.
Commissioner Greg Miles, Duchesne County Commissioner representing Duchesne County.
Jerry Taylor, Garfield County Commissioner representing 5th County AOG.
Jack Lytle, Daggett County Commissioner, representing Uinta Basin AOG. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning. And then joining us on Zoom, we have Mayor Baker. Mayor Baker, would you like to introduce yourself? That's okay, Mayor Baker. Mayor Baker, what's he representing? He representing
Uinta County.
Uinta County.
He's representing Uinta County. Okay. And then anyone else joining us on Zoom? Ms. Hansen's not. Okay. Up next for our briefing, our next meeting date, February 1st, 2024. And then the following meeting is March 7th, 2024. Any discussion around those meeting dates? Same time, same place. Sound good to everyone?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. Up next, we'll have our financial review. Ms. Powers, please.
Thank you. On the screen right now before you in this room and also on Zoom is the project funding list. This represents all the applications that we've received for the second trimester of fiscal year 2024. There is another application deadline, February 1st. It will be interesting to see what comes in. On the financial sheet indicated in yellow, which is on the screen, the projects are listed with the funding requests as requested by the applicants. They have not yet been discussed by this board. The available revenue in the mineral lease account, and these are the totals here, currently, there's $8,115,000, which has been updated since Tuesday. So this is good, a little bit more. And in the bonus fund, there's $1,475,000. What you see in red on the screen is if you were to fund all these, it indicates you would be in the negative. So all projects will not be able to be funded. There are 18,389,000 grant requests. There are 35 million in loan requests. That includes both the mineral lease and the bonus. Also, it should be noted that the pending projects are in these totals. But the pending projects are indeed on the pending list, and they do represent quite a bit of funding. Omitting the pending projects, there would be $11,488,000 in grant requests and $6,320,000 loan requests. So you see we're getting closer to the availability of funding for the smaller projects that are on these on this agenda and on this trimester. Total available funding, including major infrastructure, which is a consideration, would be 8 million plus the 6 million three. So if you were to bring back the major infrastructure set aside and put it into the mineral lease, because it is mineral lease funding, then it would increase the total. I will have those for you next week after you discuss these projects and decide how you will fund it, and we'll have final numbers for you to look at. With that, we have five projects to discuss today, and I turn the time over to the chair.
Thank you, Ms. Powers. Before I forget, I want to recognize Ms. Rebecca Banner, our new deputy director here at Department of Workforce Services over Housing and Community Development. Welcome. Great. Okay, up next we have the approval of minutes from the December 7th, 2023 meeting. Do we have a motion to approve those
so
minutes?
Moved.
Moved by Chairman
Second.
Lytle, seconded by Chairman Zanotti. Any discussion on those minutes? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes unanimously. And moving on to new projects, item 4-1. Johnson Water Improvement District, $2,950,000 with $2,065,000 in grant, $885,000 in loan, 30 years at half a point for the JWID East Uinta County Water System Improvements. Please come join us here at the the table, and while our applicants are getting prepared, Ms. Powers, do you have any comments regarding the application?
The project description is listed on the agenda notes that the board has been provided. It's water system improvements to include various things that Johnson Water has deemed necessary. In the public hearing minutes, which was held September 14th, they discussed a 50-50 funding scenario at 0%. This would be a $1,475,000 grant and loan with a 0.5% loan interest rate. The payment on that would be $53,689. An annual payment on 100% loan is listed also on your agenda notes in blue under issues, if you want to consider that. But they have requested funding outside of the funding tool, and with that I turn over the time.
Thank you. Welcome, gentlemen. Please introduce yourselves and provide any comments on your project.
Push the button right.
There you go.
Can you hear it now? All right. Well, thank you for having me first person in the hot seat. My name is Wesley Hanberg. I've been manager of Johnson Water since September. And this is Jason Blankenagel. He is an engineer that has been helping us for a long time here at Johnson Water. Been very instrumental in getting a lot of this stuff done. So I think you already know. Do you want me to start into it, or we?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we're asking for.
Yes, can we have Jason tell you where he grew up and where he's from?
You don't want to do that. No one wants to know that.
Who was your teacher?
For the record, I was an okay student, I think. I grew up in LaSalle, Utah, and had Mr. Adams as a teacher back in the day. So one of my favorites. Inspiration for being an engineer.
Can he sing the song that you taught him, or did he?
He knows it, but we haven't got time.
Okay.
Lucky you.
Could be a duet.
So our project that we're asking funding for, we need a new tank for our infrastructure for our independent system. It's over 50 years old, and it definitely needs a replacement. And we've been saving some money for it, but we just have not. We're not projected to get all the way to what we need to be, and we have a moratorium in the independent system. We cannot add any more lines with the current infrastructure, and we are also asking for funding for our
We have a few dead end lines on the east side of our Johnson Water system that I'm really having a hard time with our DDPs, trying to get keep regulations up. And we've saved up some money, and we've been working with engineers, and we've been trying to see what we can do here, and that's our project.
Thank you. I'll open it up. Questions, comments from the board?
I got one.
Director Slaw.
Yeah. So there's not a lot of other money out there, and as you know, we're pretty tight on our budget this year, but have you talked to Division of Water Resources? They have a revolving loan fund program that I think would fit this, that offers 0% loans for projects such as yours. Have you guys approached them at all, or do you know if you would qualify under that revolving loan program?
So all this kind of happened before I got here, but as I understand, correct me if I'm wrong, we have approached them, and I don't know if we just weren't able to get a good interest rate, or if we just didn't, since this area is directly impacted by the oil field, and we figured that going with you guys would probably be the best route. But we have talked to Division of Drinking Water.
Yeah, and I'm not talking, because Division of Drinking Water is one way to go. But Water Resources also has their own revolving loan program for something like this. So, I just got a meeting with them yesterday. I know there's not a lot of money out there, but there is a little bit in that revolving loan program. It's a 0% program. We're at the point where CIB can't be everybody's just first stop, because we just don't have enough money to give everybody a grant or a loan, and I know we've provided the most favorable terms up until now, but I think we're at a point where we have to have a more even split, and we need to have you guys approaching the water-specific revolving loan programs first, because we're funding roads, we're funding all sorts of other infrastructure projects that aren't just water, and so it would be helpful if we're not first stop going forward. That's just my thoughts.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner Adams.
Well, I've looked this project over, and it's extremely well engineered. I'm wondering, you're replacing an existing steel storage tank with a new concrete tank. Is that the majority of the money that this project will, that you'll have to use for this project, is the storage tank?
The storage tank is, we're estimating approximately $200,000 of the project. So it's a smaller portion of it, but fairly necessary. A steel tank that's exposed, that's 50 years old, is just a ticking time bomb in this one. The majority of it is in water line that's going in place, those E-system water lines, the looping lines, and the replacement of the underside line, and those are the majority of the cost.
So it's mainly lines that have outlived their useful life. I don't see new water connections on this line. It's the main trunk line of the whole system that you're trying to address. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah.
And you have 1,500 residents. How many hookups do you have?
I think we have 918.
918?
In the whole system.
What's your water rate?
So water rate?
Mm-hmm.
So the average water rate is about $56 for residential connections at this point. That's what we're seeing.
That's a lot more than Garfield County, so... Okay, that's all I got.
Commissioner Lytle.
Oh, okay. What's the percentage of use and what's the rate for your industrial water? And has that gone down a lot with the change in oil field, or are you still holding your revenues pretty good? Because understanding your residential's there, but
you guys in the past have made a pretty strong case for your the industrial part of it packing a lot of the weight of what's going of your other loans.
Yeah, the industrial and the oil field really has taken a lot of the water, and it's providing most of our revenue. And we're in the process of doing rate studies and getting our residential kind of up, because you never know, one of these days the oil field might drop again, and so we're trying to even that out so we will be able to provide all everything with the residential.
It's about 50% industrial, 50% residential.
The prices are much different for the water.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or are you talking about the revenue is 50-50? Are you talking usage or revenue?
Usage. Basically, if oil field shuts down, there would have to be double rates applied to all the residential. So they're compensating for about 50% of the about the 50% of the revenue needed to maintain the system at this point.
And your capital outlay or your capital budget for replacement costs and stuff, you've got one of those?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And is that your skin in the game? Is that where that money's coming from?
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Miles?
I was just going to ask a question on the 100,000-gallon tank. $200,000 will build 100,000-gallon tank?
We've recently done tanks in Dutch John. We just got a bid on that, and it was a little over $1 a gallon. That's for a larger tank, so we're these smaller ones are a little bit more expensive, so we're looking at about $200,000 for it.
And Jason's really good at concrete work.
It's concrete, then. Total yes. Concrete.
What size is it?
100,000 gallons.
What other storage do you have besides that?
All the other storage is in our Johnson Water System, and then I believe we have six other tanks.
How much?
Six.
Yes.
In your minutes, you have mentioned that tribe have maybe possibly can shut the water and you want to have a new water system. Have they threatened you in the past to do so?
Not personally to me. I've only been on since September. I don't know if that's... I know they have threatened other water systems. I can't speak to Johnson Water, so...
Okay. And you also have a margin of 0.75% compared to benchmark of 1.75. This gives you the opportunity to take this thing, the whole thing, loan. Have you even considered that?
We have. We have considered that. We've looked at the model. I just feel like with how much the oil field impacts our area, and especially this section of the area, that's... And with all of our other debt, we feel like we could get quite a bit of a grant instead of just straight loan.
Okay. Were you in the naughtiness or the nice list this year?
I hope I was on the nice list. Don't ask my wife.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Commissioner Brown.
The thing that sticks in my mind, the importance, I've served on a water board for a lot of years, but the dead-end lines are quite a concern for me, so I think that adds importance to the project. I understand that situation.
I'd like to make a motion.
Yes.
I'd like the motion that we fund this project at the median tool range amount rather than as requested. And just to confirm, that would be 42% loan and 58% grant. The loan would carry a 2% interest rate, making a payment of $55,321 a year. That would be my proposal.
Okay, thank you. I will second that.
Seconding. So we've got a motion on the table to fund at the median. Commissioner Lytle.
I'd go with the substitute on this, just
part of it being the fact that it isn't, and I know it gets filled into the system, into the tool, but from a producing county that feels the direct impacts, I would go with the minimum, but I would change the percent to 1%, and I'm curious to see what that annual payment is.
Okay, so motion to substitute motion to fund at the minimum, but the loan portion at 1%. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Commissioner Miles. Discussion.
Could we see what the payment changes?
The payment is $36,578.
We don't have the money even at median, so that's the dilemma. So that's the dilemma, and I'm respectful of your motion.
Okay, additional comments, discussion.
So we're trying to get the payment.
Still working on the payment.
Yeah.
I think they might.
Tell us what the median does to you guys.
Median,
yeah. As opposed to the minimum with the 1%.
That's right.
Your payment would be $55,312 a year at the median.
$321.
Yeah. That's just above our.
But with your rate increases, study coming.
I think she'll be able to do that.
What was your payment?
$55,000. Oh, that's what they were talking about.
They're talking about the median first.
We don't have the payment on the
36
if you went to 1%.
36 versus 55.
The first one is the minimum. Second.
Versus the minimum at 1%. So let's have a vote on the substitute, which is the minimum at 1%. Ms. Powers. Please.
The amount would be $944,000 loan, 30 years at 1%, and a $2,006,000 grant. Treasurer Slaw?
No.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
No.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
No.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
No.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Nay.
That motion fails with 3 in favor.
And now we go back to the original motion, which is to fund at the median.
2%.
At 2%. Yep.
You calling the question?
Yes.
The motion was made to fund at the median suggested range, correct?
Correct. Okay. A $1,239,000 loan, 30 year at 2%, and a $1,711,000 grant.
Okay, let's have a vote on that, please, Ms. Powers.
Treasurer Slaw?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes with the chairman abstaining. This is on the priority list, has not yet been funded as the medium range.
Thank you.
Thank you, and hopefully you don't make me embarrassed next time.
Only if you make me sing that song.
Yeah.
You don't have to stay after class.
Thank you. Okay, up next, item 4.2, Jensen Water Improvement District requesting $891,600 $623,600 in grant, $268,000 in loan, 30 years at half a point for the Red Wash Road Waterline Project.
Could I point of order real quick? There were some recommendations that Drinking Water made on the last project that they'd hoped we would carry through on the, with the motions relative to them working through. I don't have it right in front of me again, but we failed to bring it up, and I'm curious where to go with some of those, unless it's a given that they're going to be working with Drinking Water anyway. But I could go.
Contingent upon approval of the plans by the Drinking Water.
Yeah.
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 That's always the case.
Yeah. And we just failed to add it for that one. But just if we could put it in the notes, if no one has any heartburn with that.
Okay.
Sorry to interrupt this.
No problem. Did you catch that, Ms. Powers? No?
Contingent on approval of plans and specs by Division of Drinking Water.
Okay.
As is always the case.
Yeah. Great. Ms. Powers, any brief introductory comments regarding this next project before I turn it over to the applicants?
Jensen Water is applying for Red Wash Road Waterline Project. The project total is 100% request funding. It is replacing 676,700 linear foot of 40-year-old PVC pipe. I think all water systems are starting to age, and we'll be seeing many of these projects come in as they have to replace some of the aging pipe. In their public hearing minutes of October 19th, they said, we'll try to negotiate a loan payment that is around the $9,000 mark. I believe that's what they've requested. Their request is within the tool range with the exception of an interest rate. Their request of an interest rate is 0%. The funding tool puts it at 0.5. My question would be for the board to ask, is this sufficient funding to complete this project as indicated in the scope of work?
Thank you, Ms. Powers. Welcome. Please introduce yourselves to the board.
Thank you for having us. Randon Vincent, Chairman of the Board of Trustees. Trudy Wheeler, our District Manager, and Bart with our engineering. Kind of give you an overview. She just passed out some pictures for you to look at. SSD, UNSSD 1 is currently in... they're going to redo that section of the Red Wash Road, which puts our aging line under the new, it would be the northbound travel lane under that new road. When it gets complete, there will be a 5-year moratorium on going into that road, which is understandable. It's a brand new road. You know, we don't want to go in and do it. So what we'd like to do is capitalize kind of on this project and in this tight area, update our line from that 6-inch to an 8-inch, go with a polyline HDPE. We do see gasket leaks there, and that's because of the given terrain, the river that's there, is there in the movement. Once this road project is complete, there will be increased travel, particularly truck traffic, because of the proximity back into the industrial park that is located in our district to the oil and gas fields to the south. With this, we will capitalize on the safety, traffic control and safety during construction of both projects simultaneously. Some of the engineering costs, environmental studies that have been completed for the road project. Did I miss anything? Any questions?
Thank you for that, Chairman Zanotti.
Sorry for interruption. I have a few questions, if you don't mind.
Yes, sir.
The first one, last one first. Have you asked other sources to fund your project?
We have checked with other sources, yes.
And the result?
No funding. At this time.
Nobody has the money, or they don't want to talk to you?
No money right now.
Who have you checked with, Brandon?
Division of Drinking Water.
Okay.
Next question. How many residential and commercial hookups do you have on this project?
Just this portion of it or the whole system?
This portion of it. That you're asking for money.
There are 20 connections, which would be beyond this project.
Is all residential?
Residential, yes.
No commercial?
No, but there is a potential in the future because of the proximity to the oil and gas for commercial, industrial, and development. There are parcels there that are zoned that. Will they be developed? I don't know. They could be.
What is your rate, current rate?
Current rate is 52. Our current average monthly is 6609.
Okay. And when was the last time you had the rate increase?
Last rate increase was 2020.
2020. Okay, so you're current.
Yes.
And the last one. Go ahead.
And one other note kind of on that. We are looking probably the end of 24 of another rate increase for some additional system upgrades.
Okay. And you had mentioned you have some money set aside on the PTIF fund. How much reserve you have on that?
We have around $600,000 set aside for projects right now.
That can be used toward this?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
And
go ahead.
And maybe a little clarification on that as well. That $600,000, we've been building that for meter upgrade, which we are planning on here in 2024 doing not only just the meter, but also the infrastructure with those meters, because 50% of the system is pre-1980, and so not only is the meters need updated, but the setters and the valving need updated as well. And so that's kind of where that chunk of money has been earmarked for. If we use some of it for this project in conjunction with updating this, it'll push the meters a little bit further, I guess.
Thank you.
Question?
Yes.
So correct me here, but you're trying to get this, you're trying to get a new line put in before they redo the road, correct?
Correct, or at the same time-ish.
At the same time.
Right.
So, and you say once they put the road in, there's a five-year moratorium to do anything under the road?
That is correct.
And unless you don't redo the line and you have a line leak, and then
right.
You'll be digging into the road.
We'll be digging into the new road.
Okay.
And the other thing too to note maybe on that is with the new construction, we will pull to the edge and in the bar ditch so that we move out of that lane of travel as much as possible.
But still in the utility right of way associated.
Yes,
with
sir.
The road.
Commissioner Lytle, do you have any questions?
Yeah, I didn't find the numbers, but I know what's your contingency on this project?
100%.
As it relates to your comments in the public hearing, where if you have to go to your PTIF, you're still at 80,000. And then what was the last time you got your bids on prices for the?
I'm sorry, the contingency was 15%. I apologize. So 103,000. And when was the last time we got prices?
Yeah, how fresh are your bids?
They're about two months old.
And then I take it on your being involved in a water system, on your meters, have you got backflow preventers on all your meters now, or is that part of your valving that you're going to have to do?
That's part of the update that we will have to do with this.
And that's a requirement by DDW anyway,
correct? Correct.
Yeah. Cross-contamination.
Correct.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Additional questions? Commissioner Miles.
The $600,000 that you set aside money that you had, That doesn't include your last year's debt payments on existing bonds, right?
No, it does not.
So that would be...
That's additional.
Unrestricted cash.
That, yeah.
Well, somewhat unrestricted.
Capital improvement money.
Yeah.
Correct. Commissioner, or Chairman Zanotti and then Commissioner Adams.
One more question, if you don't mind. In year 2020, CIB also gave close to $800,000 for a grant and then $300,000 as the loan for the water improvement.
Correct.
And that was also included in meter improvement. So is that part of the same project that you're coming back to?
No, that was a separate project. That completed a area in which we had no improvements, and so we updated that area, and that area in the 2024 update will not be, because it's all up to code right now.
So it's a totally different system, different segments of the water system?
Yeah, different segments.
And that's already been spent? That money's already been spent?
Yes,
the improvement's already in?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Adams?
Well, it makes sense to me to get this done before they do the road. I thought my road man would speak up for that, but he didn't, so I will. I'd like to make a motion. I'd like to move that we give them the minimum $240,000 loan, 30 years, at 2% interest to be consistent with the last project we just funded, and a $650,000 grant.
Thank you. So that's a motion to place the project on the priority list at the minimum, but at 2%.
I'll second.
Seconded by Commissioner Lytle. Discussion? Seeing none, Ms. Powers, I'll call for a roll call vote, please.
This is to place the Jensen Water Improvement District Red Wash Road Waterline Project on a priority list as a $241,000 loan, 30 year at 2%, and a $650,600 grant. Treasurer Slaw.
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Yes, that needs to be included, that's a 2% interest on that.
Yes.
Yep.
Commissioner Lytle.
Yes, and I assume the DDW requirement fits with this one as well?
Yes, it does.
Requirement is that they have plans and specs approved by the Division of Drinking Water prior to proceeding.
That is correct.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes unanimously with the chairman abstaining.
Thank you, Ms. Powers. Congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Up next, we have item 4.3, which is the Thompson Special Service District requesting $148,092 in grant form for a SCADA digital metering system. While we welcome the applicants to the table, Ms. Powers, any brief comments?
The Thompson Special Service District has requested funding for a SCADA digital meter system. Their request is $148,092 in grant. It is outside the tool range. Approximate annual payment on $149,000 loan for 20 years at 0.5 is $7,847. In the public hearing on 12/13/23, they're currently experiencing a water moratorium. If they can't sell more water until they obtain more water or prove they have more water to sell by doing a system-specific sizing study through the Division of Drinking Water, I would wonder if they have completed that study through the Division of Drinking Water. They did discuss possible loan and rate increase in the public hearing, and they have indicated they could take a loan. It was noted that there is support to better meter their water usage, which will help them better understand what, if any, water surplus they currently have. This budget will accommodate only the SCADA and meter work. They have other system improvements they're anticipating, but this is just for the SCADA digital meter system. And with that, I turn the time over to
you. Thank you. Gentlemen, welcome. Please introduce yourselves to the board and your project.
Hi, guys. I'm John Corkery. I'm the chairman of the TSSD, and we'd just like to really thank you guys for having us up here and for Tamara and Heather and Candace for all their help and getting us here. I'm new to this for a couple of years, they've been a great help in helping us get to the table here, so we really appreciate being here. We're a very small system. We serve a very impoverished community, low-income community but Thompson Springs is seeing some interesting growth being just north of Moab, and we're excited to try to bring our system up to speed and see if we can try to find some more water and make our little town of Thompson Springs a great stop along the highway in Grand County. And I've got Grand County Commissioner Bill Winfield here. Really grateful to have you up as well.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, and thanks again, you know, for just considering this. Thompson Springs, like a lot of rural communities in Utah, has struggled to get any acknowledgement anywhere, sometimes even from its own county. So they've operated on a shoestring budget out there for a lot of years, and as they try and get this down to where they know exactly what water they're using, it will be an immense help for them. So for many years they've been operating in the red, and they've, with some good guidance from John and some help from the locals there, they brought it into the black, and they're just trying to move forward to be better stewards and do a good job with what they have there.
Thank you, Commissioner. Questions, comments for the applicants?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Chairman Zanotti.
I just want to make a correction on over the chart or the little sheet. The percentage is on the minimum and maximum. It doesn't match. 6833. We need to make that correction before we decide which one we're going to offer.
Thank you. Thank you for pointing that out.
Thank you.
Commissioner Adams.
Well, you're going to miss me when I'm gone.
Uh-oh.
But I hope everybody knows where Thompson Springs is.
I do.
I have talked to you about San Juan County and all the cattle that were raised in San Juan County and all the sheep before the cattle came. We used to drive all those cattle and sheep to the railroad in Thompson Springs. Mm-hmm. This is back in the 30s and 40s when there wasn't, you know, semis to haul the cattle and sheep. And so, unfortunately, I think the San Juan County cattle and sheep drank a lot of the water that was at Thompson Springs. And so I'm feeling kind of bad about that today, you know, that we took so much of that water from Thompson Springs, but...
Was you on the CIB then, Bruce?
No, well, it was just a second term.
I was just looking down from up above, Jerry. So
his great-grandfather did it, not him.
Yeah. So Thompson Springs is a pretty unique little community. Got some good people in it. And so I think we ought to give them as much help as we can. I think they're their community that hasn't been here before may not be here again. But I just wanted you to know where Thompson Springs was and a little bit about why they're coming to get some help with the water system.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Miles.
What's your current ERC?
So right now we have 95, we call them ERUs, but ERCs. So... And 51 of those are commercial, 36 of those are residential, and 14 of those are institutional.
On your ERC, though, what gallons does the state set your equivalent at?
800 gallons per day. per ERC.
And you're pretty well tapped out on source of water. Have you got any other options for source?
So we are currently looking at four different potential sources. We're looking to redevelop the old spring site that the TSSD used to use back in the 80s and before that. We also have the permits to drill two wells, and we are looking to drill a well. And one of the devices that we're asking for on here is actually an underground water locator, which will help us to locate groundwater in places that we think it is. And that device will allow us to search in many different areas instead of doing one study that would cost just as much as this device in one location. So that's another one. The UMTRA, the federal government project to remove the uranium mining tailings from Moab, they're moving all those tailings up near Crescent Junction, which is about 5 miles to the west of Thompson Springs, and they have a pipeline that comes all the way over from Green River. And in 5 to 7 years, once that project is complete, there's a possibility that we could take over that pipeline, add 5 more miles to it, and we've talked to the Division of Water Rights about potentially moving our... We have a decent amount of excess water rights that we're not able to use because we don't have the sources provided, so we could move those to the Green River and pump 200 gallons per minute, which would allow Thompson to triple or quadruple in size, which would be interesting, but that's a little ways down the line. Then we're also thinking about trying to develop a reservoir on the wash. That we see quite a bit of water coming down our wash every year in flash floods and spring runoff. So that's also a pretty big project. I think our biggest one right now is looking to drill a well, because the BLM's given us a lot of pushback on developing the old spring site. So, yeah, that's where we're at.
Commissioner Lytle.
I'd like to add to Bruce's comments about where Thompson Springs is. It's also the gateway to the south end of the Bookcliffs up through Sago Canyon, and I think that your spring works must be up that direction, some of them.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, we've got...
I remember seeing the pipe above ground in a lot of places.
Yeah, it comes up a few times, and it got washed out last year by a big flash flood. Fortunately, the Division of Drinking Water was able to step in and help us out with that issue. But yeah, we're right at the springs are up Thompson Canyon. Sago Canyon's the one to the east of that.
Yep. Right. Yeah, you start up Thompson Canyon and move over to Sago, right? Yep. If the board's willing, I'd make a motion unless there's more questions.
I think we got one more question here, and then we'll come back to you for your motion.
Thank you. First, my compliment to you, Secretary, for having 7 pages of detail. Public hearing meetings. That is wonderful. That's amazing. Whoever does that, please convey out of love and appreciation. I wish everybody pays attention to the public hearing minutes. It's wonderful. Commissioner, you have mentioned or you have kind of alluded that you try to be second Green River. I know Green River. I've hunted there for 20 years, pheasant. And that is a community that just have really the base, the opportunities to grow, and of course the river is going through. Thompson Spring, of course, I know because I've read the book about his ancestors coming from Adams and Carlisle, so the fights that they had over the water system. I know all about that place, and we have the best and biggest UDOT shed in the Thompson Spring, so I know the place. But I think you need to increase your rates a little bit so it can qualify you for loan, grant combination, a better favorable from this board, because you're asking for a little bit more than we have to offer. That's my humble opinion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Lytle.
I'll start the ball rolling with all due respect to the treasurer, but I'm going to go with all the circumstances that are here, and it'd be hardship at this stage of the game as an exemption to go with the requested $148,000, $148,092 as a grant.
Thank you, Commissioner. Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second it.
Seconded by Commissioner Adams. Discussion. Seeing none, Ms. Powers, I'll call for a roll call vote, please.
Can I do a substitute?
Yeah, sure.
So in light of what Nagy's saying, like, I understand your small district, but again, I want to make sure that we're being fair to everybody. And I think the tool is supposed to help us make sure that what we do is fair. And I realize this is small, we could just do it as a grant, but that wouldn't give you guys the incentive to get your water rate into the right range so that this could be fair, right? So my proposed motion is going to be to fund this at the median, which doesn't require an exemption, and that's a 1% on 68% loan. The payment's like $3,900. Okay, so that would be my substitute motion.
Thank you. Treasurer Swall, is there a second to the substitute?
I'll second.
Seconded by Commissioner Miles. Questions, comments on the substitute?
Could I ask a follow-up question?
You bet.
Appreciate Treasurer Slaw. Do you have a conservation rate built into your rate schedule?
Conservation rate? I'm not sure what that is.
Use more water, it costs more.
Oh, yes, we do. So 2 years ago, we worked with the RCAC to come up with a water rate raise. The old rate was $30 a month per ERC, ERU. And we raised it to $40, and then this year we're raising it to $42. And then also we did a conservation rate at that time as well, because there wasn't one before. And so that is the first 1 to 10,000 gallons, it's $2 per 1,000 gallons. The next 10,000 gallons after that is $2.50 per 1,000. The next 10,000 after that is $3 per 1,000 gallons. And the next after that is $3.50 per 1,000 gallons. And listening to the other folks out there in our area talk, it seems like we do have the ability to raise rates a little bit and be closer to what others in the area are asking. And so I definitely think that we have the ability to do that. And we talked about that in the public hearing. And we are raising the rates by $2 every year for the next 5 years already. So, but there was a lot of pushback on that rate raise because there's a lot of people living on a fixed income, older folks that, you know, don't have a lot of money. So that's where we're at.
Thank you for your I support the project. I think it's of extreme importance that you find out how much is going into your system, and that helps out everything, you know, not just the benefit of realizing what ERC you could handle, but knowing where your water's going and the ability to find leaks. So I think it's a great project.
Thank you, Commissioner. So we have a substitute motion on the table to fund at the median. Any other questions or comments on that? Seeing none. So let's have a vote, Ms. Powers, please, on the median.
Just a comment. This will require the issuance of a bond, and it can be done as a generic bond. So perhaps the board may consider adding $5,000 to this funding.
Good.
To pay the bonding?
Yep. Exactly. Yes.
Okay, sure. So is that just my motion to $5,000?
I would support that.
Is that just extra in grant?
You choose. Is it extra in grant or extra in loan?
Let's do the grant.
Extra in grant.
Let's do the grant.
But Bruce has to pay half of it.
That's my motion. That bond payment was in a grant. Kurt wanted to say that. I'm just helping him out.
Okay. So the motion is for $100,000 loan, 30-year at 1%, and a $53,000.
If you're
going to
add
the five.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay. Treasurer Slaw.
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
Yes.
Mayor Baker.
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
No.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
Did you put the $5,000 in the
Yes, I did.
All right. I'll say yes since he put the $5,000 in the grant. All right. Yeah, I know. Merry Christmas. Yes.
That motion passes now unanimously with the chairman abstaining.
Okay. Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you all. Appreciate it.
Thompson Springs is officially on your travel list for 2024.
Always. Love
yeah. Oh, no, that's exciting. I think it's exciting what you know what can happen there, and it's the next stop. You know, headed east past Crescent Junction. So as Commissioner
somebody will step up and try and improve the place.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it does the passenger train still stop there?
Not anymore.
Not anymore. It did for quite a while, though.
When it was DRGW, I know it did.
Yeah.
No.
Since Adam's family dried up the water wells,
yeah.
Nobody.
No, I rode the train there in the 80s.
It's good to see you be a part of the solution, Bruce, all these generations later.
Trying to make up for the sins of my grandfather.
Yeah, we're all appreciate it. And the children at Thompson Springs really appreciate it, especially around Christmas time. Next item, 4-4, Town of Manila, requesting a $500,000 grant for well and water improvements.
Oh, you missed the 4-1. 4-4.
Oh, excuse me. Town of Manila, $3,910,000. That's because the number below it looks a lot more friendly. Item 4-4, Town of Manila, $3,910,000, $3,128,000 being requested in grants, $782,000 in loan, 30 years at 0% for sewer improvements. Welcome, Ms. Powers. Any brief comments before we turn it over to our applicants to introduce themselves and provide any comments for their project?
This is the sewer improvements. Chairman Wells indicated the request. They also have other funds of $3,500,000 as an EPA grant. My question would be the status of that. They had good public hearing minutes. They also include in this, and I was speaking with DEQ if this was an approved cost for sewer revenue, they have included a hydrovac truck to clean and inspect sewer manholes. Should that hydrovac truck be a separate application? Its cost new is $550,000. Its cost used is $352,000. I would make certain that sewer revenue can be used to cover that cost because the sewer revenue will be allocated for this loan. This funding request is outside of the tool range. I would wonder what the status of the EPA grant, and is CID funding a required match for EPA funding, or is that standalone? Therefore, could the EPA funding cover a standalone component of this project to reduce the cost, because EPA is federal funding, and that would increase the cost of the whole project? With that.
Thank you, Ms. Powers. Welcome.
Thank you.
Please introduce yourselves to the board.
I'm Mayor Kathy Knight. Be kind to me. I took my oath 2 days ago. So this is not my area of expertise.
But you've been getting warmed up.
Well, I've been trying to get warmed up.
2 days.
That's pretty awesome. Let's send her to the CIP.
you've been
the city council must love you.
You've been acting for what?
I've been acting since April when Mayor Coons passed away.
Well, welcome.
Thank you.
And I'm Jeff McCarty with Sunrise Engineering, helping out as much as I can.
He's my right-hand person. He's on my speed dial.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
So to answer some of Candace's questions, the EPA grant is standalone. That was intended for the portion of the project that's for the Yelanchetta sewer extension project.
Did you spell Yelanchetta for everyone?
Start with the Y.
Y-L-I-N-C-A-T-A. I've been practicing.
Here we go.
It's a good basket.
Being federal funds, it took quite a while to actually be awarded. So in that time period, we had the big jump in prices of everything, and there just weren't enough funds to cover what the intent of the project was. So part of the request is to cover that cost increase that's occurred, as well as the other portions that Candace mentioned, lagoon improvements that they've had issues with, an RV dump fill station, and the vac truck.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Commissioner Miles.
I've got three questions. Give me the latitude. When was your last rate increase on your sewer rate?
It was in January 2023. We have another one coming up January 2024.
And will it be? Or what is being proposed, I should say?
For the... Well, this is water. I don't have that number with me, but I thought I did. And I may have it if I sit here and go through all these papers.
What's your current rate?
20.
20.
And I believe it's going to be 22
okay. For
residential. And then it will go up higher for the county residents, as well as going up higher for Sweetwater County that's also into our water system.
You said higher for outside of city limits?
Outside of the town of Manila.
You charge 1.5 times?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. And my final question, have you had discussions with Tri-County Health? And the reason I ask is usually when you have a municipality that's willing to run a sewer line, that there's an obligation for people to connect.
There is an obligation. We have talked to Tri-County Health. They are the ones that have said no. We cannot have any more septic tanks out there. And no, they're not going to help us.
Current residences as opposed to no additional. And then I have to ask the question, what about the current residents and their requirement to hook in?
They will be required by state law to hook in within, I believe it's 60 days, and I can find you the statute to send to you. The question that we have come up is the impact fee that we're going to gain from that, and we won't know what that is until we know how much we have to pay out. Also, many of our residents, probably the majority of our residents, are on fixed incomes as well. So I can't charge them $5,000 up front to hook into a sewer because they just don't have it. So that will have to come in over time. And until I can get that study done, and until I know how much money I have to work with, I won't know what to charge them on impact fees. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a catch-22.
Thank you. Appreciate those.
Chairman Zanotti, please.
Mayor, you being here is just, in my church, we call them baptism by fire.
Yes, sir.
And that's the best kind.
No, sir.
She's quick.
But obviously, they have much confidence in you and your ability and your kindness and what you're going to do for your town. So that's what you're here for.
And like you said, I was baptism by fire.
Happy New Year.
Thank you.
You're going to be just fine. Okay. And again, my compliment to your committee for the public hearing meeting, 7 pages. That is wonderful. That is the things we would like to see everybody in every community. To have attendance, to hear the mayor, the councilman, to talk, explain the projects, what are they doing, how are they doing, how are they going to pay for it.
We had an excellent public hearing. We had a lot of input from the public. I was grateful to have them all come out and support us.
And I would like to make just one verification to see.
Okay.
$20. Is that yours is current or ours is, Ms. Howe? What is the?
I think the difference is the $20 is for in-town residential connections. That probably factors in commercial rates, which are higher, and the outside-of-town rates.
Because so I just looked at my bill last night, because I have to pay it, and it was $20.
1.5 times FBI.
Okay, so we need to make that correction so that we will make sure that we judge it accordingly.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
We have a motion.
I have a question before we get to the motions. Talk to us about your ability to faith in recognizing the funding delays, at least prioritized phasing of what you can or can't do at this stage of the game.
What I propose is that I believe that the lagoons are paramount, that we have to get those up and running. Yelanchetta's sewer, they're on septic tanks right now. I think that's a priority that I have to have. Those two are ones I'm ready to go to the table for. The RV dump would be very nice. It would be convenient for our visitors that come. Right now we have one that sits alongside of our town building that's failing. Last summer it backed up into the store, and so we had to close it off because it's failing terribly. That would be the purpose for having the RV dump. We believe over time it will be paying for itself with visitors coming in. The vac truck, as convenient and as good as it would be, we can put that down the road too.
So in terms of your ask, what does that change your ask?
You've got those figures.
Yeah, so I've kind of separated out those different portions. If we were to remove the back truck portion, that would remove $405,000 of what's being requested. If we were to remove the RV station, it would remove $929,000. So if we were to reduce it down to what is considered kind of critical, the ask would be down to, let me see, $2.576 million.
Total ask?
From CIB.
How critical is the RV station? How many people use that?
30,000.
Quite a few.
I can't give you a number because it's on an honor system. And unfortunately, many of our RV users have no honor. So they just come and dump.
And what happens if you don't have that? Where do they go?
Well, that's my concern. My concern is they will dump wherever they can.
Closest ditch, closest
hole in the ground.
Closest open field.
The lakes, the field.
We have a few.
We have a Lucerne Marina has a dump. But I can't tell you how many times, and I take this very personal, because we had to go in and take care of an individual that actually had dug a hole in his backyard, and he was dumping his black water there. The other thing that they do is they dump their gray water as they're driving down the road. So it's a health hazard, an environmental hazard. But when it comes to having sewers and lagoons for people, compared to the convenience of having a sewer dump, that's where I drop it off. The other thing I just found out yesterday is we've got a developer coming in, and he's going to add another 160 condominiums there over a phased period of time. That's going to put critical stress on our lagoons. And so the lagoons, there are three of them. They're having problems raising the gates on them so that they can clean them properly. One lagoon is only half completed. The fifth lagoon would be a complete new build. And so with the 3.5 EPA and with whatever we can get from here to go for Yelincheta, that would help those people get off their sewer or off their septic tanks and onto a sewer system.
And allow for development in that area.
And as well as have some for some more development, because part of the problem that they're having is the lots are so small they can't put septic tanks on them. So then you say, well, what do they do when they come up? And I'm not going to elaborate on that.
But Commissioner Adams likely will, so.
You're saying he's full.
I just I noticed that on the project that's on our iPads and stuff, there is other funds of $3.5 million.
That's the EPA.
That's the EPA.
Okay.
Question, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Jeff, again, mentioned if we remove that sewer dump project, how much will be saved or how much will be reduced? Would you please let us know that again?
So.
About the screen?
Oh, yeah.
It's about $900,000, he said.
Yeah, if you do the back truck and the sewer dump station, it's 1.334 million you reduce off the ask.
So your new request will be how much then total?
2576.
Yep. Yes.
576.
And so there's two different scenarios. One is under their percentages of loan and grant, and then the 25% is within the sewer range. Of that amount.
Can I ask a question? So if CIB didn't fund the RV dump today, do you guys have other sources that you could go to, or would you just put that on the back burner?
I'd put it on the back burner.
Because I don't think that's smart. Like, I think they need to get it done. I don't want to see them having environmental issues. I know how many, you know, tourists and everything come through Manila. You live there, Jack. I'm pretty sure you wouldn't want to see everybody using every ditch to dump their RV stuff because there's not a suitable alternative. I hate to be Santa Claus here, but I just don't think it would be smart to downsize the project and not include that. I think that's kind of a critical thing that they need to get done.
Jingle bells, jingle bells.
So with that in mind, and while we're in the spirit of giving, no. But, so, can I respond, please?
Yes, please.
And to your point, for all of you, so they need the project in one form or another.
Yeah.
And I'm open as a board member or representing the AOG, and for disclosure, I'm not a rate payer or anything else personally in this project. Just trying to find a way to make it affordable for them with our stuff. And depending on how it would look, right now, at least in conversations, my understanding is they've given us what they really feel they can afford with the 80-20 at the 0%. If we're going to go move back into the minimum or the moderate, I was trying to make it so they could afford to still pay whatever the loan part of it is by reducing the principal to some degree. Whether that's the right way to go or not, it was more of an affordability issue. As far as the sewer part of it, and I think it could pay for itself if we could move away from the honor system somehow to where they had to put money in the bank.
Oh, they will, absolutely.
I agree. Or use their credit
with
card.
With the RV, there's going to be a kiosk there so that they have to use their credit card to get both sewer and water.
To
dump their sewer and to get their water.
And I think that one, it may not pay for itself overtly, but it will be a revenue stream
that
will be able to be added to it. So I'm open to whatever happens, but that was my motivation in having them look at phasing was
trying to come up with terms that we can help them afford.
Okay. I understand. You just don't want to see your water rate go up, right?
Like I said, I'm not tied to the water rate. Water rates going up, and I think they understand that they may have to bump them more than even the $2 or whatever rate.
Our water and sewer rates will be reconfigured by Zions Bank this year. For next year. We're on a schedule this year, and then Zions Bank will give us the tiered schedule for next year that it'll go into.
Okay. Chairman Zanotti, and then we do have a question or comment from Mayor Baker.
I would like to make a motion, Mr. Chairman, at this time, just to help Mayor to make sure she goes home and she doesn't resign or she doesn't quit the job. The fact that we have heard all these arguments for and against, and of course we have the opportunity here from the Treasurer says for the first time in his life being Santa Claus, we're going to go for the minimum, 25%, 75%, 0%, 30 years mortgage, 30 years loan, and that gives you the annual payments, $32,600, Mayor. I think you can afford it. Your town can afford it. And the fact that you're getting $3.5 million from EPA, any money you can get from those people, it is good in my book.
Thank you.
So that's my motion.
Thank you for the motion.
I'll second.
Seconded by Commissioner Taylor. Comments? Discussion?
So, and then that would allow you to make the project fit within, with all that phasing conversation, but you could make your own decisions on what works or doesn't work to stay within it or reduce your principal and whatever. Okay.
So, motion to place on the priority list for the minimum. Correct.
Yes.
Mayor Baker, please. Please unmute Mayor Baker. Give him a second. He's been idling for a long time. You're on mute. Can we unmute him?
Nope.
Yes.
You'll have to unmute yourself, Mayor Baker.
All right. Okay. Sorry about that. I didn't get unmuted. My question, I'm a little late to getting in, but my question was more on the dump station. I felt like it might be something versus Manila City taking on that responsibility so that a commercial business there could take that on and charge and collect, and they could be billed a little higher from that commercial business for their sewer connection and not put that burden constantly on the city of Manila. That was just my comment.
Thank you. Okay, let's have a roll call vote.
This is to fund the Manila sewer improvements as presented. Does this include the hydrovac truck?
As presented?
As presented. No.
Yeah.
Minimum. The scope of work. The scope of work is minimum. The same.
Yes, right.
Okay.
Well, this would be no interest. Yeah.
This would be a $978,000 loan, 30-year at zero, and a $2,932,000 grant.
Okay, hold on. I'm getting the snake eyes from three places or three different people. Mayor, can you afford 1% interest rather than zero?
What would that do to the payment?
1% bond?
About
minimum at 1%.
Is this a substitute?
No, I'm just going to correct it myself.
$37,896.
It doesn't add that much, Jeff.
We're
on the water
system
here. Dump the truck and take
some 1%. Yeah, can we dump the truck? Can we eliminate putting
the truck? It's your choice, Mayor, your application.
Yeah, let's.
But to Candace.
They can bring it in as a separate one. They said it was the back truck was $405,000.
Right.
Well, if we buy it brand new, it's $550,000. We got a used one, which I got that bid in September. It was going to be $400,000.
What did you include on the application?
On the application, it was $405,000.
Oh, $405,000. So take $405,000 off, Paul.
From the total.
Of the total.
And then add the 1%. And then on the bond, is that $10,000? Are we adding it to it?
They've included that in there.
Anything on $100,000 is included.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, I hesitate to make this comment. I don't want to sound like treasure sloth here, but
the Santa Claus side or the other side?
I just think this mineral lease money is to go to offset the impacts of oil and gas and mineral extraction. So we've just had two have come before us and taken a 2% loan. And I understand, and I love you, Manila. But I just think to meet the statute that we have, I think that's unfair. It's out of parity to give a 2% loan to mineral producing entities and give a 0 or 1% to someone we feel bad for.
It's still a producer, but lesser.
Yes. That's all.
So, Greg, you were given a 2% interest rate to a community who was asking for very little money compared to a community that's asking for a large amount of money.
And they're bringing $3.5 million as a good money. They have it in again.
There's lots of factors that go into this, right? That's one factor that needs to be weighed in considerably, and we consider that, but it's only one of many factors. How much are you bringing to the table, right, and other money? What is your financial ability to repay? Like, so that's why we have the tool, because I think in all of our minds it's really hard to sort out what is fair if you don't have something that's taking all of the considerations that we have and weighting it. Yeah. Right? And so that's why, even as imperfect as the tool is, we know it's imperfect. It's, to date, our best representation of how we weight all of these factors and how we factor them in. And I know being a mineral-producing county and that fairness issue is weighted significantly, right, all in the tool.
Yeah.
And so, even though that is a big consideration, it's not the only consideration that goes in with what kind of a deal they get.
Look at the difference up there, though, in 1% and 2%. What are you talking, 6,000?
Yeah, that's what I'm making that. And in the application, we always ask, have you gone any other places to get money? They've got $3.5 million from EPA. That's a great search and research to get the money from the people that usually don't give any. To me, it's a good compliment.
Okay. Let's have the vote.
So what are we voting on?
Did you change to 1%?
We reduced the $405,000 from the total because we eliminated it, RV.
The back truck.
That's our truck. Yeah. And then 1% interest.
Okay, so then we get the...
So
it's on the board.
So we get to the $34,000 payment, essentially.
$33,982 at 1%. That's the reduced amount. And that's what we're voting on. You can do that. Okay. Okay. Motion
made by Nagy, second by Commissioner Taylor. What was the annual payment on the requested amount? I believe it was $26,060.
Just for reference, making more of the stuff.
Okay. Treasurer Slaw.
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
Yes.
Mayor Baker.
Yes.
Commissioner Miles.
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor.
Yes.
Commissioner Brown.
Yes.
Commissioner Adams.
With all the factors that go into it and having the perfect logic of the treasurer, I vote yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Zanotti.
Aye.
This is on the priority list for possible funding February 1st.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. Next we have the town of Manila, again, requesting a $500,000 grant for well and water improvements.
Mr. Powers, any brief comments?
Just had to make sure I got the amount we were funding. Now we have the water part of Manila. It's well and water improvements. The request on this one was the $500,000 grant, 100% grant in the public hearing. They're going to do an investigation and analysis of three of the town of Manila's existing water wells to determine their current and potential capacity. The breakdown on this funding was well inspections were $135,000, well refurbishment was $180,000, equipment is included in this project at $84,000, and contingency is $39,000. The $10,000 legal expenses are only eligible for the issuance of bonds. So I'm telling you that, and you've added that into the application.
Okay.
Unless that's for water rights.
Well, yeah.
I think that was just a holdover, actually.
This is outside the funding tool range. Approximate annual payment on a $500,000 loan would be $17,989.
Thank you, Ms. Powers. Questions, comments, motion from the board?
What's your capacity like? And I forgive me if that was in the packet. I see your rates, and you've got a very robust rate schedule. Actually, pretty complicated rate schedule, but a good contingency, or not contingency, but conservation rate. Are you good on your water sources? Have you got ample?
We need to investigate. Our 1 million gallon well is very good. The other two, one is 289.
Those are the tanks.
Oh, the tanks.
The source is the issue.
Right. Storage-wise, you're good.
Storage-wise, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
How
we're not sure if we have to dig another well.
So there's another alternative, too, that I'm sure you've spoken about in terms of Long Park Reservoir and the pipeline. How does that fit into your decision-making as far as well drilling? Is it purely economics of what makes more sense for you over time?
Right. Yeah, the idea is that it's not really known currently if the reduction in production on the existing wells is due to them just being old, or if there's actually a reduction of water down there. So the first priority would be to just refurbish those existing wells, not have to drill anything else, not have to go find another source. But you can't really do that until you're actually investigating, inspecting, and finding that out.
I guess I mean in terms of whatever water rights you have in Longs Park that aren't being used at this time.
Oh, water rights wise.
And water from in the pipeline from Salt Canyon down?
Right. So the wells are in Salt Canyon just below Longs Reservoir.
Okay.
Longs Park Reservoir.
So you're not, but in terms, you don't want to treat surface water at this stage of the game because that's why I said it's
right.
Is it economics? Because you do have a source.
Yeah.
As well.
Exactly. That would kind of be a third priority in ranking.
Okay.
is going to a surface water source like the reservoir. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Adams.
So I don't have to listen to certain people here on the board for a minute. I'll make a motion. I move that we fund them with the medium.
What, Bruce? Have you two traded places today?
Yeah, medium. Motion to adjourn or to recess.
That's what you did on the last one.
His new shoes are too tight.
I think we traded places.
I think so.
I think we need to recess for a minute.
I'll rest my case.
I'll second that, Bruce.
Whoa!
Yeah. We're moving along now.
Okay.
Okay.
What happened?
Comments on that? Seeing none, let's have a roll call vote by the new political power team.
I defer to
Unity Party.
Okay, this is the fund at the medium range, which is a $220,000 loan, 30-year at 1.5, and a $280,000 grant. Treasurer Slaw.
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Yeah.
Commissioner Lytle.
No.
Mayor Baker. Mayor Baker, you're muted.
Yes.
Commissioner Miles.
Yeah, I'd just like to say I think Daggett County in general is in a tough spot for housing, and they desperately need to bolster up their infrastructure. I know it's hard for them to take a 1.5% loan, but we're just short of money. But I'll vote yes.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion carries with one opposed.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Congratulations to the town of Manila.
Thank you.
Next, we're going to move on to item 9, board member discussion and or action items. First, we have a policy discussion on water and sewer application requirements, application to other sources prior to the CIB. Is that board member Slaw? Do you want to lead that discussion? Who's Ms. Well?
I can kick it off, but
yeah.
I think there was a power group that met this morning that might have more information on what we need to do. I think the question is raised is, would it be appropriate to move what has been set aside in the Throughput Infrastructure Fund back into CIB in some capacity so that we could fund some of these projects that otherwise in February aren't going to get funded, even some of these that we approved today without more money. They're not going to be funded, and so, you know, I think there's some question in my mind of, you know, the appropriate source if we did have, you know, a coal port or something that we would want to develop. I would think that you could get support from the state of Utah in general without having to use CIB resources, since we're in a very different position than when that set-aside occurred back in 2017, right? I think we have way more money at CIB, and we're just not in that position right now. There's all sorts of critical infrastructure that's going on in rural Utah that otherwise, you know, I was on the water meeting yesterday. There's very limited funds elsewhere as well. And so it's hard for me to see more, you know, probably $60 million now with the interest that's accrued over there, just sitting there when there's all of these critical infrastructure that's going on that otherwise isn't going to get funded. So that's, I think that was what we wanted to discuss, is whether or not we wanted to consider it. I think there's also maybe a legal question on, you know, what it would take to pull that back, whether the board can make that decision or whether that requires legislative action.
So prior to that, though, we're referring to a discussion on water and sewer application requirements. But we can.
Well, I was way offlining then.
Yes. That's okay. I mean, you just jumped ahead.
I was at the new projects, large infrastructure set aside. I thought that was what we were at.
But. Nope. But we can have that conversation now and then skip back to.
Okay.
Yeah, let's just
roll on. Well, so in order to, even if we were to take the interest from it, would that require legislative?
No, not much. No. My understanding that we can use it as much as you want, anytime.
As a board action?
Uh-huh.
I think the interest is an interesting question. I haven't looked at that.
I will point out, it says the first throughput infrastructure project considered by the Impact Board shall be a bulk commodities ocean terminal project. That's in statute. So if we're talking about, and I want to be clear, and I think Candace would have said this sooner or later, when we're talking about the throughput infrastructure fund, we're talking about this, it's currently, I think, $60 million. So it has, what, $4 million interest?
$7.6 million.
$63 million to begin with, yeah.
But the next, the item 9.2 is actually different. Yeah. So that's the major infrastructure fund, which I think has $6 million in it. And that one can be moved, is my understanding.
We
so
that you can, I think
you
we
can make
understand
a motion
that.
To vote on that. But as far as throughput infrastructure fund, I do think legislative action is necessary. At a minimum, I think just making sure the powers that be are okay with the CIB playing with the interest is, I think, more than just from a political standpoint, I think would be advisable.
Chris, would you look and see? I think that to move that money with just a board action, I'm
that was my understanding.
That it's in statute.
Well, it's in statute what we spend it on, but I don't know that it's in statute how much is in the fund, yeah. Right?
That's the questions that I would come to mind, yeah. For me is if the money's in there, that's what it's supposed to be spent on. But if it was a board action on how much to put in it, are we able to have that same option if we reduce that amount by some amount? It might be more politically
it calls it
palatable by yeah. Playing in the interest to begin with, at least. But
it calls it the throughput infrastructure fund.
But the legislature didn't put it there. We did.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I think from this board, Bruce and I, the only one were at the time that we put that money aside.
I was there.
You were there too?
Or at the very beginning of it, okay. Or just before.
And that was understanding that we decided to put in and how much, and we have the option to use it for the purpose we wanted to, whenever we wanted. That's the idea was at the time. It was not the legislative decision. And we have the rights by our own board member's
to
decision.
To control what's in the fund.
Yes. And I know we have also used it. The UDOT used it once to put the money out, and then we took it back in.
Right.
Yeah. I could probably support that.
Yeah. Probably?
Yes, probably. There are political questions. And I see DWS wants to.
Why you recognize for the minute?
Oh, sorry, Christina Oliver, HCD director. One of the things we will have to look into is the original source funding and what the requirements of those source funding, the parameters were, for all intents and purposes. So it's still a solid maybe.
It was all mineral lease money, though, wasn't it?
It was.
It was supplanted, though. Are we talking about the throughput, the $60 million? Yeah, it was
that's
supplanted.
What
there was some sort of trade-off with UDOT,
yeah.
Right?
And we would have to look at what those funds, if there were any constraints for any of the others.
You said it was a solid maybe.
Yes. Glasses, maybe half full.
So you're saying there's a chance.
One in a million.
She didn't say
sorry.
No.
Give me another one.
Chair, can I make a comment?
Yeah.
I would just like to get this resolved before the February funding meeting because all the projects we've looked at that have been approved at this point I think are critical, and I would hate to see us have to pull back from some of those projects in February. You know, they're, for all intents and purposes, these municipalities are counting on them at this point, even though we have a major funding issue still. So if we could figure out what needs to happen before that February meeting, I would hope that we could get something resolved before then.
I have a question procedurally as it relates, and it happens to be a project. Well, two of us are on the pending list, and maybe Candace needs to answer it. What brings them back from pending to the other list? What?
Yeah. They have to contact you off the pending list. They have to contact
you
staff, and then you will put that they're ready. and you can rediscuss them.
So do we have any objections from the board in advocating for this, just as a temperature check?
Are we talking taking the whole fund or just the interest or a portion of the fund? What's in your mind? Because it's right now it's in its form is at least a revenue source in the form of interest, $7 million over 8 or 9 years. It may not be popular to bring up, but I'm just trying to think in terms of ongoing and one time.
Well,
I guess
if you're asking me, I would say bring back all the interest and then plus whatever set aside we put over there in order to fund the projects that we've approved.
And then think point. And get some return, interest on the interest in essence, because of at least on the loan portions of the projects would still bring money to CIB in some form. Right? Am I thinking?
I think I'm following what you're saying.
Time value of money.
Yeah, all of the interest. Yeah, bring all the interest and everything else back, and then whatever else it takes from the set aside, the principal set aside that we made in order to fund the approved projects up to this point. And then if it's just the board's discretion, then we can always consider bringing back more later, but
What are the coal counties going to tell us?
Can I comment?
Yeah.
So as I understand that, this money was set aside many years ago for the use of a rail project into the ports to benefit four counties, Sanpete, Sevier, Carbon, and Emery counties. And we've always been led to believe that that was what this money was set aside for. Mm-hmm. That being said, because of the legal battles and environmental issues down in California, that port has no longer been pursued. Even though they would like us to, they would still want us to come in there. There's other options that have been thrown out on the table. And we are actively working, at least Sevier and Sanpete is, for the use of these funds for other benefits for the coal industry there in the counties. And so until, you know, some of these other issues are resolved, I would be entirely opposed to pulling that $50 million back in.
Well, so they can't use it for other purposes.
They cannot until that language is changed, is what we've been told.
Right.
For it to go out the door as opposed to within CIB.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that would take a legislative action.
So I would hope that if something ever does come to fruition in terms of being able to get a coal port somewhere, you know, the governor and legislature have been very supportive of rural Utah, and I would think that there would be some other general fund appropriations that could be used to help bring that to fruition without having to tax CIB. I just don't think that's what CIB was designed for. CIB was not designed for, you know, mineral development. It was to mitigate impacts from mineral development. And so I go back to CIB's core mission. I think we ought to pull it back because that the economic realities are very different than when we set that aside at the beginning.
So something to add, and maybe Bruce could speak to it, if historically or Greg Miles, from a seven-county infrastructure where I wear that hat at times as well, I believe seven-county infrastructure was probably going to be the conduit for getting that money spent with at least at one point, and it caused a big row within seven-county infrastructure membership with how that money could or couldn't be spent. If I'm remembering correctly, Seven County was a part of that at one time because Emery, Sevier, and Carbon counties were part of Seven County and were big proponents of getting this set aside as it is. Sanpete certainly was in the mix in the conversation, just not necessarily a member of Seven County. So, and that's why I brought it up. What are the coal counties going to say about this? because we've been through some of those growing pains within Seven County over the same money. So, unfortunately, it's a more complicated conversation with the different hats that I wear, and obviously for Santee County, that money was set aside. I wonder, in terms of the interest rate, if there isn't, that couldn't be a compromise that the coal counties, and I'm not speaking for them, but just thinking out loud, that if we were to limit it to the knowing that it still makes for hard work at February 1st meeting, that the interest might be a compromise as opposed to rating it any deeper without a lot more conversation with those counties that are relying on it, whether it's practical or not in the current political atmosphere that we're in. It's still something that I know they've been hanging on to as a form of hope, at a minimum, knowing that they can put skin in the game if something can come to fruition. So as far as them going back to the legislature to recodify how the money's spent, that's a different conversation, because I know that they've looked at that money as theirs in a sense. And so I just want to make sure that we're being very transparent in our conversation at the board.
Chairman Zanotti and then Commissioner Brown.
Okay, thank you. From my personal recollection, throughput money was way before SCIC establishment.
Okay.
That was the one we had to use. The money was purposed for Oakland Port.
Right.
That was the whole idea, to get the coal from here all the way to Oakland. Of course, we had opposition from California, East Coast, West Coast, all the places. Mm-hmm. The Seven County came back later on for the railroad project. That was a different project, and there was no contingency attached to the first money we set aside. Because of that, we could borrow it or just get it for UDOT projects, and then we paid back in three different installments. So there was nothing. We didn't go to legislators to do that either. We just applied and got it and paid back.
Okay.
So that money can be used anytime for the projects that we have intended, like Treasurer mentioned. And we can use all, we can use part, and we can also back and replenish it if we have enough money saved again. So that was the whole purpose. Borrow, pay back. And there's no contingency attached, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, and to your point, if I could real quick, there was no railroad conversation in that.
In terms of
the railway with the Uinta Basin, yeah. I don't recall there being any connection.
That was the Oakland Port.
But when it was set up...
No, okay. The discussion was after that.
It was after.
Yeah.
Oakland Port had always been its own project.
Yeah, that was it.
I think to just add a little flavor to that, Mr. Zanotti, the discussion was to put in infrastructure for the benefit of those coal counties. Infrastructure for a different type of industrial park.
Okay.
And so that's where we kind of had cross threads.
Yes.
Commissioner Brown.
Yes, 2 points. I'm in favor of it to the point of interest. I understand you, Commissioner Bartholomew, that you're okay if we pull the interest. That's how I feel too. And if we can attach a payback part of that, I'm okay of pulling some of those funds enough to cover where we're at with this funding session, as long as there's something in there that says when the fund's established that it gets paid back into that, so that account stays whole and if ever that option comes for the coal reports.
At what point do you want to pay it back, though? Because I don't see us being flush with cash anytime soon based on the current economics.
Well, I think it could be attached to when the funds are reestablished. I mean, I don't know if you could put a time frame on it. Because I understand where we're at. I don't see anything happen in the near future unless we do something legislatively to get more funds into CID.
My personal fear is that they're going to see the chunk of money sitting there, the legislature is going to pull and spend it without us knowing it, without it giving us any reason at all. And they do that very often.
The legislature giveth and the legislature taketh away.
That's what it did. So if it's our money, let's use it for a good purpose.
Commissioner Adams,
Well, I think until maybe Chris and Christina give us a thumbs up or a thumbs down on whether we can or cannot use this money, all of this discussion might be in vain. We got to find out if we can put the money back in CIB or not.
It sounds like we're in favor of exploring the opportunity for it.
Yes.
That would change the nature of our February meeting.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, if we knew that beforehand, it would really help. Good? Good. Okay. Next discussion item, let's jump back up to the policy discussion on water and sewer application requirements. I also want to note that I was 2 minutes away from getting us out of here, beat my previous record at 11 o'clock. I think until Ms. Oliver joined the podium. We were that close. No, I'm kidding.
I'll go back.
No. So let's have this conversation now about water and sewer projects, application requirements.
This was it was discussed at the last meeting that you wanted to have it as a requirement, a policy requirement, that they seek other water or sewer funding prior to submitting an application to CIB.
So, comment to that. It, at least evidence that they've gone after it, whether they were successful or not, is that? I can't remember what was said at the meeting, but.
Well, it still is your decision, but staff needs to know what they should do from their end as to what you decide and would require prior to them submitting and you reviewing a water or sewer application. Do you want staff to be able to hold it and verify? Historically, this board has said don't submit applications simultaneously to two boards to use staff time and board time, and then they play the system and decide which one they want to take. Do you want them to go to water and sewer funding sources first before coming to the overall CIB funding source for water and sewer?
I would rather be that CID be supplemental to whatever they can get somewhere else.
Yeah.
And if it's nothing, it's nothing. But from them. But I think it's. But I also wonder if we're not beating a dead horse when we know their funding cycle is pretty minimal. Or if we block our water and sewer to a particular time of year to where. I don't know.
Ms. Oliver.
Thank you. I'm going to take a couple minutes, so I apologize for holding you back. One of the things, so I sit on the Water Coordinating Council as well as Kurt and Candace, and one of the things we discussed yesterday was having a timeline schedule, so the list of programs as well as the application timelines, and that will provide you with a little bit more insight as you're reviewing applications. It's also one of those things I think that we need to consider, is this an emergency situation? Perhaps they don't want to wait the 6 months to apply for the additional funds, but if it's not an emergency situation, should you put it on a pending list, provided other outcomes? Historically, federal funds, you all know, are much more expensive to utilize, since coming to the CIB board is the lowest hanging fruit. We all know which way water runs. So that would, my suggestion would be, if I'm able to give a suggestion, that we build a policy to that end, where we're the last dollar in, for all intents and purposes, accepting emergency situations.
Thoughts on that?
So moved.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Good with everybody? Jack? Jack's thinking.
They'll still turn down the dildo and come to CIB.
Well, but we would be able to see that in the application.
Yeah.
They had to turn it down. A deal and what deal they have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That the applicant turned it down or that they got turned down by the board?
Both.
Well, you'd see either way.
Okay.
Well,
and then the other part is, are we precluding supplement? Or I guess if we're the last dollar in, we would be supplemental to whatever they applied for in the others. Okay.
We got green light on that.
Yeah.
So.
I would say go forward with it.
I think it's a great idea.
And then we'll get in the weeds with whatever the cost is itself.
So that said, I don't want you to think that there's a whole bunch of untapped resource out there, because there's not.
No, I'm
like,
being very
like
pragmatic.
All of those other
I expect to see a lot of zeros.
Are pretty much capped out and are over-applied for as well. So, like, I think this is a good policy because we are the best deal in town, and so we don't necessarily want to create disincentives for people to come here first when we can fund a lot broader types of projects than those funds can. But don't expect that there's going to be a whole lot more that gets funded by those programs.
I'm not that guy. The other way to look at it is either that or we get harder on our terms or our mixes and matches to where they have to find that other money.
I think you need to do both.
We've had situations where we know that they've come in here because of the interest rate. They've been approved, but our interest rate
and most other programs don't give the grant money that we do either.
True. That's what I mean. Either we get tougher or be the last dollar in. Either way, I'm fine figuring it out.
So good policy.
May I clarify?
Yes.
We will craft something. It may not be by February. Perhaps it will be. It's really based on Chris's schedule.
Okay.
And we'll bring it back to you for consideration.
Great. Thank you. And then we'll look for an update on the previous conversation regarding the infrastructure contract prior to the meeting. So make sure the board's clear on that as we go into the February meeting. That's everything on the agenda, folks.
Wait. Did you vote to bring back the major infrastructure fund into the mineral lease account to be utilized for February funds?
No.
Let's do that.
This is the major, not the throughput. This is just, it's already.
The $6 million, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I make a motion to do that.
Seconded by.
To do what?
And to clarify for the record, Candace, could you tell us the total amount? And this amount will go from the major infrastructure fund to the mineral lease fund.
Yes. What is in the major infrastructure?
I thought you were applying for major infrastructure.
No. Throughput is the trade we made with UDOT from their transportation special
service. That's the $60 million, right?
That's
the
$60 million. This is, as you see on your screen, this is the $6,000,003 that we put into a separate account that now will be reallocated into this account. It's already all mineral lease.
You want to bring the $6 million back?
Six.
Yeah.
60?
Just the six.
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 I know they both have sixes in them.
But we adjourn.
Okay, so we have a. Let's have a roll call vote on that.
The motion is to bring back the major infrastructure fund made by Nagy and Commissioner Taylor.
And whatever interest
or whatever it is from
that's the throughput.
Yes.
No, that's the major infrastructure.
His question was what the power lighting was underneath. I said that's the throughput.
I was talking throughput. This is major infrastructure.
Bring us home, Miss Powers.
Oh, wow. I'm going to let you know in a second.
Yes.
Do we have any projects occurring or that have applied for major infrastructure set aside? Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
Yes.
Mayor Baker.
Yes.
Commissioner Miles.
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor.
Yes.
Commissioner Brown.
Yes.
Commissioner Adams.
Yes.
Are you clear?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Zanotti.
Aye.
Good. That motion passes unanimously. All it does is bring back, it just combines the fund again.
So what does it do to the red numbers?
Well, you'll find out.
It's still, we've got eight and six.
So we're almost covering the mineral lease account. What you get, but I want the board to be clear that these red numbers are if we allocate it from those separate accounts. And keep in mind, pending is in there too. I will show you separate amounts without the pending next by the funding meeting. In fact, I'll send it to you 2 weeks prior to the meeting
You'll see the amount, but I don't know if we'll have all.
How early do the pending projects need to get in contact?
You can be on the pending list for 6 months.
But say they wanted to get on this funding list and make their
2 weeks prior to the meeting.
Okay. Okay, can I be clear on that? Okay, so you're saying the pending projects are included in these negative totals?
Yes.
And without those, where would we be?
Here are the pending. I mean, you've got 34 million. 34 million.
And I wasn't convinced that we were going to fund those yet, so.
So without those,
do we have enough money without?
It's highly
possible.
Okay.
It's highly. So this is the stuff, Candace, where I would really love to have some clarity, like in a forecast, so that we know how much money we have going into these fundings, because every time I think we're not going to have enough money, then we suddenly show up to the funding meeting and there's all this extra money. Like, we need to have better forecasting when we're in the first few months, because the story's all the same. We're not going to have enough money. We're not going to have enough money. And then all of a sudden we show up to the funding meeting and a whole bunch of money's coming in. We need to have some forecasting. I want to make that clear to the chair that I am requesting better forecasting in the financial report, so that I know at the first decision meeting a very good idea of how much money we're going to have before the next funding meeting, so that I can make good decisions on what I fund and what I don't fund.
Forecast is rain for tonight, turn to snow tomorrow. Will that satisfy you?
For your information, this is all we know received. We have received December receipts yet. So this is what we have received this year by month. This is new revenue. If you can notice right here in the red, that was a year ago what we received. So forecasting is tricky. Last year you had this much new. This year you have this much new in the same time frame.
No, I understand.
So let's go down a little farther. This is 2 years ago. Your expectation of a forecast, and I would love to accommodate it. I really would, and I've tried with this report.
Look at that.
But we're all over the place because we can't predict what the private drillers will drill, what they will actually lease on federal land, because CIB is only what revenue comes from federal land. They're drilling in the basin, but they're just not on federal land.
You can't predict when the money shows up. That's my estimation, because the oil is steady. It's how the dollars flow, and I have no idea how that works. I've tried to figure it out, and it just doesn't make any sense to me, because you have huge fluctuations.
As you can see, even in these years, I went back 5 years for you. 2021, we had five. 2022, we had eight. Same time frame. 17 last year, which is why it all of a sudden bumped up and you all of a sudden had money at funding meetings, because we did that. And then 11 this year, same time frame. I would love to give you a projection. The board's job is to see that they put the money they have available out. The financial report is pretty clear if you want to look at it, because you have everything right here on this ledger. I explained to you in here in blue, this is current mineral revenue as of that date, which is best they can do. If you funded everything with the current revenue, everything on the pending list, everything. If you funded it all, you couldn't. That's all. This is just temporary dollars.
But there's $30 million on the pending list.
Yeah.
So then without the pendings, then we're fine.
Well, yeah, there's $34,202,000 on the pending list.
Right.
Now, what I was saying is I can take those out, and you'll know you take 30 out, and you're almost there, because we're going to add the major back, and you'll be able to fund everything. Don't look at how they were parsed out. The staff will make it work to take it out of wherever the money is. Because we can, on the mineral lease, if we had a whole bunch of bonus fund, we couldn't take grants out of it. but I can take grants, interest-bearing, and 0% loans out of mineral lease. So you're, all the major infrastructure is mineral lease, and it's going to go up there. Where the pending projects have been allocated has been out of the bonus fund. So you take those out of the bonus fund, $29 million, we're good.
Miss Oliver.
I don't have anything, Dad.
Okay.
Anyway, I've included this report that I showed you just now. It's in the Granicus platform. This is how it comes to us. As you can see, CIB isn't the only one that gets money from that deposit. And you see that each...
I think it just makes it hard when, like, the two meetings up until we get to the one right before the funding meeting, it's like, we're not going to have enough money. You can't fund anything, and we're making decisions based on that. And then all of a sudden we get there, and then it's like, oh, no, actually, we're going to have enough money. Like, some way we've got to get the position where maybe we don't actually allocate any money until we have a full trimester and we've accrued the money for a full trimester, so we know exactly what we're dealing with. So,
you don't
right, so
allocate
we can set the right terms because
so that we're jumping.
Yeah. So
we get money ahead in essence.
Yeah. We don't allocate any money until we get to the end of a trimester and we know exactly how much we have, and then we can start.
You don't though. You don't allocate any money until then. It's on the priority list. You have not funded.
We've set all the terms of all of the deals.
Which is how you be consistent. You just set the terms and you do it within the funding tool.
But somebody suggested that. Somebody suggested that, and then you said that's just kicking the can down the road.
Here we go. Now we're getting back.
Well, but if you do that, then you have a San Juan hospital that comes in and takes all of the revenue in the project.
Yeah. Or you have, come in and get a small rodeo down that takes all the money.
He was trying to get across the table to Ron this morning to win him over that hospital.
But even with that discussion, in terms of the pending side of it, I would still like to look hard at the throughput, at whether it's even just the interest that comes across, if we can do that, because that would allow at least one, and I'm advocating, even if the Manila clinic came in, it would give it the slack. Yeah, I guess I want to know if we can do that or not.
So if forecasting isn't the answer, no. Treasurer Swall, you're just suggesting we look at our cadence and our process up until the funding meeting so that we don't.
Yeah.
Right. Because right now we're trying to allocate based on some unknown number of money that's going to come in, and it looks really bad, and we're like, well, we got to really tighten up our terms.
I mean, on the other side,
we've got to not give these people money, and then
so
and
once
then,
we save
we
up
down the road.
So once we save up that money, that's all we're going to allocate. That's all we'll land out.
That's right.
And oh, somebody already said that once.
Well,
who?
And I think
who could that have been?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, it seems like to me we would need more depth to our priority list, right? So instead of just in or out, we would need more depth to rank projects based on their priority. And then when we get to the funding meeting, based on the priority, I mean, we can evaluate terms, knowing how much funds we have to disperse. But
well. The problem is it's hard to renegotiate every single deal at the funding meeting, right?
Yeah.
Like based on...
Well, and they've been counting on it for what, how long,
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was the thing, there was a point today is we're providing certainty for the communities or the applicants, so they go back and they think they've got an outline of their deal.
Right.
But it's really, not worth anything until we get to the funding meeting. So I think the best way to work through this is... Yeah,
I think
but if there's a way to improve the process that the board's behind that we think is a better process for us, I mean, let's work towards that. We've been kind of beating our heads against the wall, frankly, about this forecast for a while, and you know, I'm tired of talking about it. I understand the concern. If the board agrees that better forecasting isn't in the cards, but we can better prioritize and have a better procedure, then let's explore that and get it adopted as policy or whatever we need to do to move forward. But I think you're clearly being heard, and your logic is understandable. And so can we agree to do that? Just look at some alternatives in terms of process.
So basically, we might have to take a break from funding anything for a trimester, right?
And
then we would accrue whatever we're going to do over that trimester, and that's what we would have to work with.
That's what you start with.
And we would only allocate that, not whatever comes in throughout that trimester.
Mayor Baker, you've had your hand raised for about an hour and a half now. We're going to go ahead and let you speak on this one.
Okay, I appreciate that. I've been listening to all the conversation, and what we really should do is we should, what funds come in from the previous trimester is what we have money to allocate, and then let the next trimester build, and when that's all in, then we can have that money instead of trying to estimate and guesstimate and decide what's coming in. Maybe we need to do is just say, we wait when that one trimester money comes in, then the next trimester we can allocate that money. And so we actually have the money in the account. We're not guessing.
Yeah.
I think the best thing for the board, though, and I know it's somewhat, you know, we don't want this to parallel track and hang out there, though, is let's look at some alternatives, you know, in writing that we can evaluate and agree to proceed as a board. You know, so if there's just one alternative in the process that we're looking at, then let's get that out in writing and really evaluate that.
So if you only have so much money, you want to start bribing Candace to get you on the first meeting of that trimester, because if there's not money left over for the third meeting, then they're not going to get any money, right?
Yep, but the way it works now is the first meeting, it looks like we're not going to have any money, so we're super hard on everything.
We still fund it. We still...
So can we agree to that, to the board, to review these alternatives, but have them in, you know, the script and writing and verbiage that we can review with the agenda?
Sure.
Decide that today. Let's not decide and argue.
What are the alternatives?
What ones are
you talking about?
Well, there's been a couple discussed, but let's get them on the agenda. You know, let's get some alternatives on the agenda to review. I'm not advocating for any one or...
No, but I guess it's not clear to me what they are.
It's not super clear to me right now either, but Ms. Oliver has a comment. That's becoming clear.
I'm just putting this over. What we would request is that anyone that has ideas send them to us so we can put them together. We could create our own ideas, but they may be completely off target. We have some direction from this particular meeting. But if you have other ideas, get them to Candace, and she can put them together. We'll look at it with Chris and then be able to present it to you to review and debate.
Something tells me the treasurer will have an idea, a proposal.
I think Mayor Baker explained my idea perfectly. We just wait a whole trimester. We don't try and guess what's coming in before the funding meeting. We just only deal with stuff that's come in the trimester before.
Or we change. So one of the things you brought up was we're making agreements, or not agreements, whatever, deals.
We're making allocations to grant, loan, and interest rates and all of that, right?
So if we take the projects and don't do the deals now, but do them at the funding meeting when we have a set amount of money.
But that's a lot of a lot of deals to negotiate, or to kind of, like, we put in a lot of work up in these meetings. You can't just pile that all into one meeting, right?
Okay.
Ms. Powers, and then we'll just go on down the line, shall we?
I would just like to clarify for applicants, because those are who I deal with, that they are not to be submitting applications for the February 1st trimester. We can do that, but we should do it now, if that's something that you want to do, is hold off, because we've never been in this position. We've always had a surplus of funding to allocate. We don't, and everybody's got needs, but I would like this board to at least clarify that there is a hold for February 1st
Because they'll be coming in now.
Yeah. Is that our intention?
Well, unless they can suggest they have an exigency that's occurring.
Yeah.
We can establish one meeting for that trimester where the emergencies can come in, if we have funding for the emergencies. In the meantime, you will have a February 1 meeting to approve, to give final approval for what is on the prioritization list.
Yeah, which is fine, but a hold on funding.
Applications.
Yeah.
June 1 would be the next application deadline.
Is that what
you'd
we
have
want to do?
4 months to build.
Then there would be, we wouldn't have any meetings between February and June to consider projects.
Stay tuned, because if there is a critical need.
Except for maybe one for emergency.
And then when's our spring?
Policy retreat is June.
Okay.
June 6th and
7th. I just want you to know the Buckaroos are playing basketball at 5 o'clock under the Horsehead, Monticello.
Hurry.
Appreciate that. Well, I'm doing my best. So does that work for the board?
We're just confused.
Yeah, getting head nods. And what that means is we're just going to hold off on funding applications.
The next review, first review for funding applications received in the interim will be June 1. And you'll know how much funding you have.
Okay. I think that's the direction we're going to go here.
Take a vote.
Do we need a vote?
Well, just...
I'm seeing head nods yes. I'm seeing no head nods no.
So if somebody wants to move off the pending list onto the... because they've met the needs, will they be able to prior to February 1st?
But we won't have anything on the pending list.
We don't have funding for a lot of projects.
But the ones on the pending list would have priority of those we put on the priority list.
No, they wouldn't. The ones on the pending list are ahead of anything that would come in as a new application February 1st.
Right, but they wouldn't take precedence over the ones we would put on the group.
Priority list, no.
Priority list.
I don't know that we can officially take a vote, but we can let applicants know that most likely we will take a vote to forego the next trimester.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, I'm not sure if you can necessarily freeze
the
process.
They can apply.
I mean, their application can come in, and the funding, as always, the funding is heard at the funding is actually issued at the end of the trimester, so you can just set the expectation that that's when they'll be considered as well. Something to that effect.
I think we will start considering. My understanding was we will start considering them.
June 1.
Okay.
June 1, July, August, and not fun till October.
What do we call it?
Moratorium.
We just forego a whole trimester.
But what I'm trying to say is we're not just funding the project as they come in, right? We're knowing how much money we have, and then we're going to consider all of the applications.
We're not funding any of them, though, until the end of the trimester.
That's right. But what I'm trying to say is, rather, because I think what you explained before is, hey, we just fund whatever comes into us, and then when we're out of money, we just stop, right? What I'm saying is, by waiting the trimester, we can do the prioritization so we're funding the right projects. We're not funding projects that would be lower on our priority. We're funding the right projects. We're just waiting the trimester to do it.
So giving us a cushion or that stability.
Right, so that we know what we're dealing with for that cycle. Rather than this, what we have now, which is, do we have money? Do we not have money? You know, it like changes from meeting to meeting. And so it makes it really hard to know how to delineate which projects should get money and which shouldn't, right? We just don't know how much we're doing.
Well, I think we're funding bigger projects now than we ever have.
True.
And we have less revenue to do it. And so, you know, I'm going to make this point again. It needs to be in loan. A big portion of the money that's being given out needs to be given in loan. A friend of mine recently shared a quote with me
that says the society grows great when old men plant trees in whose shade they know they shall never sit in. This fund is drying up. I mean, there's no question. Mineral lease money is not getting come back. It's just a fact. And unless we start creating a perpetual fund that will give us money into the future, there will not be money left. And I think we have to be...
Back if there's a change in administration and we
I don't, Bruce. Because how are you going to overcome special interest groups that their sole mission in life to destroy the industries that is providing money to our economies and our communities? I don't think it's going to come back.
Well, it's Nichols don't you'll understand.
Yeah.
If it does come back, we still have to be smart with our money right now. And I'm with you. I think we need to start using most of it alone to where it can revolve.
We probably ought to adjust the tool then, because I know when push comes to shove, everybody says that, but everybody has bleeding hearts when you got an applicant before you, and I haven't seen anybody suggest all along yet when the tool's saying grant. So if that's truly the intent of the board,
the guardrail
fix the tool so that it suggests all along.
And an interest rate so that they know before coming in that there's an interest rate that we're going to expect.
The guardrails that we're using in the tool, it's not taking us to the place that we're, we're talking about now.
Right.
I think we're all. I appreciate
it's a fair thing.
The comments, and it is a good discussion to have. And it's really complex, but there are some fundamental facts, that you've shared there with us, Commissioner, that are concerned to all of us, and I think. Those are really the issues that we try to dig into, during the retreat or whatever. But we're talking about some pretty serious changes to not what we're doing, but how we're doing it. And it's good discussion, though. And so Commissioner Bartholomew and then Commissioner Brown, and then we'll go back to Bruce for... some more insight on high school basketball tomorrow.
Closing song and prayer.
So
I won't be singing for the next trimester.
That was your idea.
How do you follow that up?
So a couple times ago, Kurt had an interesting suggestion. And I would like to have him explain that to the board with the paying down the interest rates.
Okay. So. Yes.
Stay a little closer.
So I'm still exploring that. So we went to Zion Public Finance and just asked them, hey, if we were, so this is goes exact opposite of what you're saying, Greg, in terms of keeping this revolving. This would essentially use CIB money to buy down an interest rate so that the bond, there would be bonds issued in the capital markets, and then, depending on who it is, it would take more or less money to buy an interest rate down to the same terms that we're trying to offer people, which is very subsidized rates relative to the market. Anyway, so like for Uinta County, I think... Jonathan Ward at Zion sent me something yesterday that said for a $13 million loan, $2 million would buy it down to 1.5% interest rate. Okay, so that would be more capital efficient, right? We could get more projects done that way because we're using the market's money and we're just coming in to subsidize the portion to get it back down to an interest rate that communities can afford. But the problem with it is it's not going to keep the fund revolving, right? Now we're using all of the mineral lease money essentially as grant to buy down those interest rates to make it affordable for our communities, but now we're not making CIB. So there's trade-offs there. If we truly are going into a situation where we feel like that's the only thing we could do to keep our communities going for the short term, that's more capital efficient, right, than putting money out in the loan. But the problem is you're kind of burning the candle at both ends then, right? Because you're never gonna replenish the loan, the funds with loan money.
But in some of these projects, that would be a very good trade-off.
Yeah, no, when you're in a situation where you got an applicant come in and you don't have the money and it's a needed project, that's way more capital efficient. It just doesn't...
You're turning the spigot down.
Revolving.
You're still getting projects done, but you're turning the spigot down in terms of
that's
what
right.
goes out.
Yeah, in terms of long term. So it's like trade-offs, right? It's a tool we could use if things get bad enough, but I don't know. I don't know that it's maybe our first preferred option. I'm still exploring it. Zion's still doing some work on it. You know, obviously some of these communities, they just can't do market rate financing. They just don't have financials to be able to support any market rate deal at all. And so it's really kind of the UNA counties or the bigger counties that could take advantage of that.
I think we'd be better off with a 0% interest loan, and that way at least we're making money, not the bank.
That's right.
Yeah.
We're not making, but getting it back.
The problem is a 0% interest loan, if you're giving away $13 million, that takes $13 million to do it,
yeah,
rather than $2 million to give the same loan through the market and not expect anything back. So that's
yeah,
the difference. So.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to adjourn this, baby.
Motion to adjourn.
She had a comment, and I got a comment.
Commissioner Brown.
Okay, I thought you had your hand up.
I did.
Okay. My question is if we stop holding the meetings, are we going to have 60 applicants when we have our first meeting? And then that would not give us any avenue to hear any emergency. So I'm wondering if you ought to maybe still have a few meetings and then let them know right up front you're not going to know your terms or you'd be considered. So you're going to be on the approved list, but you're not going to know your terms until we have see where we're at with money. I'm just wondering. That would stop having a 50th of meeting. You had a comment?
I would suggest the board establish one of the next three meetings, March, April, and May, when you want to consider any emergency. And then if nothing comes in, you can cancel. What is it that's meant?
Probably March or April, I would think, yes.
Yeah, I actually, if I may, my opinion is that if we still listen to the applicants rather than being bombarded over, you know, 12-hour meeting, and then at the end you're going to be looking at all the numbers.
Yeah.
If you're hearing the stories and understanding the terms month by month, but you're not setting any terms or expectations until you know how much money you have, then you heard the stories and you can start to make better decisions rather than trying to keep you in.
I thought that's what we were going to do. We were going to keep meeting, but we just weren't going to be negotiating any terms.
You're
going to
be hearing.
I thought we were canceling meetings.
Uh-oh.
Okay, yeah. So you're going to have meeting every month?
We should not cancel it.
Yeah, we're going to have the meetings every month. We're just going to place projects on the priority list without any terms or not. I just think that's going to be really hard to hear them all, but then not set any terms until, like, I don't know about you, but I don't know that I have a good enough memory to, like, remember everything from March and then make a deal on how good of a deal they should get in June.
That's what we have the minutes. That's what we have the minutes. Read the minutes. Read the minutes.
Taking notes. Okay. I'll go with anything you guys want to do. But
are there meetings or are there not?
Yeah.
There are meetings.
To clarify.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. So we will not be reviewing any at the February meeting. No new applications for February.
There never are. This is a funding meeting.
Okay. I thought you had said you were getting some in already.
Well, you were February 1st is the application deadline.
We will have the three meetings where you will be hearing the applications as usual, but you will not be making any judgment calls on the financing aspect of
that's
it.
That's right.
Unless there's a suspended fund that comes up that would be based on an exigent circumstance.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. And then we would like to, beginning in the February 1st meeting, just have a standing item under board discussion for
reviewing these alternatives through our process. We need to get those in writing and have a more formal discussion of that instead of having it come up between the cracks. So, great. No. Yes. No.
Can I just clarify that for your business as usual here, or you're going to just hear everybody's story without any terms, and you're going to apply terms and do a meeting?
You sound really confident in the direction, Ms. Powers.
I think that sounds like a little crazy.
I would rather work the terms. If we're going to stay in that scenario, I'd rather stay the way we are.
Yeah.
But can't work terms because we don't know how much money we have in. So now it goes back to the whole situation. We don't know how much money we have.
I think you just need to emphasize that they're not funded until the funding meeting. This is what we're
I thought we were just going to take a moratorium on hearing anybody, and then all of these applications that are building between now and June, we'll start hearing them in June.
Let's continue on as usual, but let's parallel track with this formal discussion about the process. At the point in time where we change the process, then let's change the process. But until then, the show needs to go on like it has, or we're going to get too confused.
Okay. Haven't the agencies, planners, got the message that we're out of money?
Yeah.
You know,
in the application.
No. Because we're not. We're going to the funding meeting, and we're going to be able to fund all of these projects that we heard less than the trend estimate.
Right. But going forward, they have received this message that we are out of money.
Well, they're going to.
I know ours have.
Does that sound, we clear on that, guys? We're going to just continue on.
Yeah.
But we're going to have a formal item, discussion item, about alternative processes starting in the February 1st meeting, meaning if we want to do things differently in terms of how we prioritize, how we fund. I'm still getting confused looks.
May I just suggest the closing remarks?
Yes.
We keep forgetting our mandate that we will get the applications in. We cannot force them. We cannot police them. Who's going to bring, who should not bring. If it's a high, low, small project, big project. We keep forgetting our discretion is given to us. We meet as a board. We have discretion to say no. Go home. Come back with a better, streamline your applications. We have discretion to say, yes, you had a good project. Let's give it to them. We have discretion to say no grant, you're going to get all loans. But again, we are here to provide service for the communities. That they have the money, yes. They have their own mineral money, yes. They get it off the bat, 30, 40% of it, yes. But we are here to do 29 counties of the state of Utah to provide service to them, which have no place to go. Treasurer can say all he can, but there's no other places to go for money. We know that. The public sign charges 6-7%, and that's what they cannot go. Whatever we can offer, 0%, 0.5%, 1%, it is money coming back. We have loaned a lot of money in the past 12 years. It is revolving. It is coming back. It is going to come back. In my 12 years, I've seen we have been always managed to fund the projects. Staff did a fantastic job to put this money together, allocate the money from one account to other account we have. So let's not get scared. Let's not just quit our jobs. Let's not be negative. 2024 is going to be even better year than year before. I promise you, it's going to come together. We're going to fund the projects. But yes, we can be doing our own due diligence. We don't have to just be Mr. Nice Guy. Say, yes, we're going to give you the what you want. Like we did the two of the project, we said, can you afford it? You're asking 0%, we're giving the 1.5% to 2%. So let's make sure that the mandate given to us, we follow that, because we're missing that blue Bible. If you haven't read it, go back and read it again. We cannot please the people, but they can bring over, they cannot. Everybody in this community of the state of Utah are entitled to bring their projects before us. And it's up to us to do our due diligence, study the application beforehand, not just coming over here in the morning and say, let's see what you have to say. Let's not worry about what's going to happen. Staff is going to deliver. I have a full confidence that really, Candace, she's done it all these years, and I've been in this three different administrations. We have delivered always. But yes, it's always good to have, tune it up a little bit, try to get fresh ideas. But our mandate is do our due diligence and use our discretions to provide a service for those communities. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Okay, with that, I'll adjourn.
Okay.